the late, actually very late, rector of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, the old St. Paul's Cathedral, not the one we're familiar with now, was a man named John Donne, who's also a very classic poet, known for, among other things, a series of sonnets called the Holy Sonnets. And in one of these Holy Sonnets, in his poetry, he addresses God. And let me read that sonnet to you right now. Batter my heart, three-person God, for you yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that I may rise and stand, or throw me and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make me new. I, like a usurped town to another due, labored to admit you, but oh, to no end. Reason, your viceroy in me should defend, but is captived and proves weak or untrue. Yet dearly I love you and would be loved fain, but I am betrothed unto your enemy. Divorce me, untie or break that knot again. Take me to you, imprison me, for I, except you enthrall me, shall never be free, nor ever chaste, except you ravish me. Not the kind of calm, peaceful tranquility you would expect in a relationship with God. Its intensity kind of shocks us at the audacity in which he's speaking to God. And yet, in our first reading, we hear just a portion of a discourse that Jeremiah has, and just short enough to be, in many ways, a sonnet. The portion that is read is not very long. And we hear Jeremiah speaking to God. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me. You overcame me. So I will speak your word no more, but then your word bubbles inside of me, and he can't help it. Jeremiah is frustrated. He is angry, and he has every reason to be. If we've ever read the book of the prophet Jeremiah, at the very beginning, God calls him, and Jeremiah points out, I am too young, O Lord. So he's called when he's very young. And in the midst of that calling, he asks God, will the people listen to me? And God answers him, no. No, they will not listen to you. They will beat you. They will imprison you. They will persecute you. They will harm you. They will seek to kill you. But I will be with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And he says that over and over again throughout his prophecy. Jeremiah is aptly referred to as the father of lamentation, and at least tradition attributes him to the book of Lamentations, although was he the author or not, I don't know. I wasn't there when it was written, and I never knew him. But because he had such a life of persecution, he prayed to God so often in a prayer that is referred to as lamentation. And believe it or not, in the Old Testament, over 50% of these of the prayers we read, including the Psalms, over 50% of them are lamentations in which the person is calling God out, is pleading with God, is taking out his anger against God. There's even another prophet named Habakkuk, a contemporary of Jeremiah, in which in his prophecy, although it doesn't say, and he said, and God said, and he said, and God said, there is, in fact, implied a back and forth in which Habakkuk asks him, why, O Lord, do the wicked prosper? And he pours out his frustrations to God, whereupon God responds in a way that asserts his power and his will, to which Habakkuk kind of takes a step back and says, yes, Lord, you are the master of the universe. You are the author of all things. So why are you allowing this to happen? He comes right back at God in this prayer. And we see in this a tremendous example for all of us, in the audacity and the frustration and the anger that the prophet is expressing to God. If I had a nickel for everyone who's come up to me, whether confessing it as a sin or coming up to me in direction or just expressing their experiences, who somehow come to me with this concern or disposition that it is a sin to be angry at God, I wouldn't need to be in this job. I'd be rich. But maybe that's why we do need to be in this job to a certain degree. because I love to meet this nun. We always blame it on the nuns. You ever said, the nuns taught me this? I'd love to meet this nun who seems to have taught everybody that A, being angry is a sin, and B, being angry at God will somehow result in a lightning bolt landing on them and puffing them into a cinder in which they are no more. Sometimes I have asked people, have you ever prayed your anger to God? When they come to about 10 minutes later after passing out at the very prospect of it, oh, heavens, no, God is all loving, God is all knowing, God is all natural, God is less filling, and they get into the usual cliches. But the thing is, God knows our dispositions. God knows what we are feeling. I mean, those of you who are married, how often have you come home and said, hello, dear, how was your day? And they answer, just fine. You know things are not just fine, but you dare not ask them to elaborate. God knows the innermost feelings of every human being. And in prayer, we are called to be honest with God. When you think about it, if God knows what it is we are feeling, and that we are going through a tough time, or we are really angry at how things are turned out, and perhaps even angry at God, do you think God wants to be bored with yet another Our Father, or yet another Hail Mary? The depth of our relationship with God is reflected in the comfort that we have to let it all out, to call God out, and that is what the Lamentations in the Bible do. You read some of these prayers. How long, O Lord, are we going to endure this? Are you there or not? Yes, we've been unfaithful, but you remain faithful. And then they even bargain with God. Do it for your name's sake. When you really think what that line, it sounds very poetic. Do it for your name's sake. You're basically saying, I screwed up, but bail me out so you'll look good. For your name's sake. We have prayers like this that hit us and berate God, and yet we have a modern spirituality that says, no, we cannot be angry at God. And yet, what is the first thing we're called to in prayer? Honesty. Honesty. And this is what John Donne is doing in this particular holy psalm. He says, mold me to the way you want me to be. If I'm sinful, then break me, batter me, push me down, and then build me up. In other words, God, do your job, and I'll be a better person for it. I mean, you listen to the language of it. He says, I cannot be free unless you imprison me. I cannot be chaste unless you ravish me. I won't illustrate that any further because there are children present. But we get the idea of the graphic way he is speaking to God, the audacious way he is speaking to God. And it should be a comfort to us, even in the midst of the shock of what he's saying and how he's saying it, that it is not a sin to get angry. It's what we do in our anger that constitutes sin or a lack thereof. And it is not a sin to be angry with God or even pray that anger. Lightning is not going to strike us. The earth is not going to open up and swallow us. Haven't met any person yet who's been angry with God in which that happened. But what is called for in prayer is honesty. And the Hebrews were very good at that with their endless lamentations, their endless prayers. Not just of praise, but of anguish, of calling God out, of reminding God of his promise to his holy people. But Jesus gives us one standard that we must always keep in mind. We must do it according to God's standards, not by man's. It would not be appropriate to engage in an intense lamentation because I have not yet won the lottery. Or because I don't have a nice car or live in a nice house. As we reflect upon our feelings, especially in our relationship with God, we must keep in mind and we must keep before us God's standard. And if we don't understand that standard, then that too could add to the prayer in which we say, Lord, we don't understand. Lord, enlighten us. Are you there or not? Hello, do you know what we're going through? It could be the prayer of anyone who's gone through a very difficult time, perhaps one who's lost a job and having difficulty finding one. One who's going through a very intense sickness. One who is experiencing great loss. Certainly could be the prayer of those in southern Texas and Louisiana on the heels of Hurricane Harvey, and we remember them on this day that our President Donald Trump has asked us to acknowledged a national day of prayer to pray for those who are affected by Hurricane Harvey and who are now holding their breath as Hurricane Irma is picking up steam and moving in the same direction, hopefully taking a different direction rather than continue to ravage those who are still recovering from Harvey. But even there, you might think, Lord, give us a break. Lord, what are you up to? Are you there or not? And these prayers bring forth the depth of our relationship with God, that we can be comfortable with a God who loves us. Even someone no less than Pope Francis himself a few months said, don't be afraid to call God out, to be angry with God, to remind God of his promises. Because after all, what is prayer? It is merely an honest exchange between people who love each other. We love God. Don't we owe God that honesty? And so let us remind ourselves, getting angry is not a sin. Being angry at God is not a sin. If it were, every Old Testament prophet would be in hell, and half of the saints. We have such saints as Teresa of Avila, who, if the story is told, as she was on a journey, her wagon broke down, to which she prayed up to God and said, Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few. I'm sure that sounds a lot worse in Spanish. But that honesty with God is what we are called to in prayer. Yes, we know our prayers by rote. We know our Hail Marys, our Fathers, our Memoraries, and so on. But as we deepen ourselves in prayer, let us look to the prophets for that example, and let us look to Christ for that standard of always keeping God's standard before us. And let us look toward a greater honesty in our prayer, which might help us put things in a greater perspective once we allow God to be the recipient of us just simply getting it out. Because in the end, it is what we do with our anger that constitutes sin or grace, not anger in and of itself. It is certainly not a sin to pray our anger to a God who already knows our interior dispositions. And I know how gossipy Catholics can be, but they never seem to want to spread this one around. So please, spread it around. Let one another know and remind them of it, because we see examples of it in the prophets, we see it in the saints. It is not a sin to be angry at God.